إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونسترشده ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون أما بعد أيها الإخوة الكرام يقول ربنا جل وعلا في كتابه المبين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عبس وتولى أن جاءه الأعمى وما يدريك لعله يزكى أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى أما من استغنى فأنت له تصدى وما عليك ألا يزكى وأما من جاءك يسعى وهو يخشى فأنت عنه تلهى كلا إنها تذكرة فمن شاء ذكره. Indeed, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, sustainer, and controller of the universe and all within. We praise Him and we ought to praise Him and thank Him for His infinite grace, blessings, and mercy that He has bestowed upon us. We believe in Him and put our trust in Him. We also should seek refuge with Allah from the evil inclinations of ourselves and from the evil of our actions. Know that whoever chooses guidance, there is none to misguide him or her. And whoever chooses misguidance, there is none to guide him or her. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. He is one and has no partner. And I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the servant and messenger of Allah, whom Allah sent with the religion of truth and with guidance, so that this truth and this guidance will become established in the land over all other religions, although the idolaters detest that. Respected brothers and sisters, this is the khutbah in which imams across our city have been asked to remind our brothers and sisters and ourselves of the presence of brothers and sisters in our midst who we view as disabled. Now I know we have talked about this in the past, and you have heard about many examples among the great scholars of Islam and the great scholars of Hadith, despite various disabilities, were very prominent scholars. But what I would like to do today with you is to share with you some thoughts and ideas about the issue of why isn't there a specific statement in the Quran or in the Sunnah that guarantees, as we say, equal rights for people with disabilities. Some people ask, well, if Islam does not differentiate between those with disabilities, whatever form that may be, that may take, and those who are not disabled, then why isn't this enshrined in law? Why isn't there a statement that says so? Well, the answer, brothers and sisters, is that from day one, people with disabilities were viewed by Islam, by the Quran, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as equal members of society. And so there was no need to specifically make mention of them. And the classical example we all know about is that of the blind man who came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. As the scholars tell us of tafsir, Once the Prophet alayhi salam, and this was during the years he lived in Mecca before the migration to Medina, once he had an opportunity to speak to a number of very influential individuals within Quraysh. The Mufassirun mentioned some of them: Ubay ibn Khalaf, Utba ibn Rabi'a, Abu Jahl, and Al-Abbas, his own uncle. Later on he would embrace Islam. Among others from Quraysh. And this was a rare chance when he had their attention. And they were intent on listening to him. And the Prophet ﷺ saw this as a great opportunity to inform them of the message of Islam and to invite them to Islam. And that if they were to respond positively to the message, then it would be good for Islam, because most of the ordinary people would follow the leaders. But in the middle of this situation, which on one hand might have seemed ideal in terms of promoting Islam, Allah the Exalted would teach the Muslims and the Prophet alayhi salam one of the most important lessons regarding the equality of people in terms of their right of participation in society and in activities and in programs. So a blind man came. His name is Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum, but Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar mentions that he was also known as Amr ibn Ummi Maktoum. And he said that it's not a big deal that perhaps he had two names, Abdullah or Amr. In fact, he mentions that the people of Medina know him as Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum, while the people of Iraq know him as Amr ibn Ummi Maktoum. But despite the perhaps difference in his name, everyone agrees that he was a blind man. And that he came to the Prophet alayhi salam at the time when he was engaged with some of these prominent leaders and people within Quraysh. And he wanted to know about Islam and learn about Islam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu was salam, brothers and sisters, he was annoyed at this interruption. First of all, these are the elite of society, the leaders of Quraysh, people with prestige and honor. And here comes not just an interruption, but an interruption from a blind man. And so the Prophet alayhi salam, he frowned and he turned away from the man. He did not tell the man anything. But his attitude spoke volumes. He frowned and he turned away. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal Quran that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had to recite and recite for the Sahaba. Quran that is enshrined in the Mus'haf. And we recite these ayats up to today. And we will continue to recite them until the end of time. And by the way, there are scholars who say that these ayats in Surah Abasa, these verses are proof that the Prophet alayhi salam did not write the Quran himself. Because if he did, chances are he would not write such statements about himself in such a negative light. He would have deleted them. But anyways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent revelation to the Prophet alayhi salam regarding not just his treatment of this blind man, but he sent revelation to teach him an important concept, that in this message of Islam, in this deen, in this way of life, no one should be shown favoritism. Allah says, Abasa wa tawalla, he frowned and turned away. And the scholars agree that it was the Prophet alayhi salam who frowned and turned away. So the verse is speaking about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Allah mentions why Allah says, "An ja'ahu al-a'ma," because a blind man came to him. In the middle of him being busy, having the attention of the nobles of Quraysh or some of them. This is why he was annoyed. But then Allah says and explains to us that what is important is that we share the message with everyone, especially the one who is keen on learning the message. So Allah tells the Prophet alayhi salam, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّ. And what will inform you that perhaps it is this blind man who will purify himself. أَوْ يَذَّكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَ. Or he might be reminded by this message of his purpose in life and his relationship with the Creator. And so this reminder would benefit him. What will inform you that this is the person who might benefit from what you have to say and not those other people, the elite of Quraysh? أَمَّا مَنْ إِسْتَغْنَى. Allah says, but that's for the one or those who think of themselves as independent, free of wants and needs. فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى. Those are the ones you attempt to target. Those are the ones you're focusing on. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى. But it is no fault of yours, or you're not responsible if these people do not receive the message well and purify themselves. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, brothers and sisters, in his tafsir of this surah, he said, وَمِنْ هُنَا. And it is from here, أمر الله تعالى رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. It is from here that Allah the Exalted orders His Prophet, His Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, ألا يخص بالإنذار أحدا, that he should not favor anyone with this message over others, that everyone should be equal in his view. بل يساوي بين الشريف والضعيف. Rather, he should treat as equal the noble and the weak. والفقير والغني, and the poor and the wealthy. والسادة والعبيد, and the masters, the elites of society, and the slaves. والرجال والنساء, and the men and the women. والصغار والكبار, and the young and the old. He should treat everybody equally. No favoritism بالإنذار, with this message. And so this, brothers and sisters, is the foundation of the concept of the equality of all members of society, despite whether we view some of us as having disabilities or not. And this is why there was no need for the Quran to specifically highlight the rights of the disabled. Because from day one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us that the fact that a person may have what we view as a disability in no way should bar that person or inhibit them from being full members of society. And this is precisely the message that Allah that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam understood, brothers and sisters. He understood from this experience that in Islam, everybody is equal. And so afterwards, as Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar mentions in his commentary on a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, he said, وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يُكْرِمُ. The Prophet alayhi salam used to honor this blind man, Abdullah or Amr ibn Ummi Maktoum. He used to honor him. He did not hate the man because of him. Allah revealed revelation to reprimand him. That's how many of us may feel. But the Prophet alayhi salam, كَانَ يُكْرِمُ. He used to honor the man. Now you might ask, well, what's the big deal? treating the man, you know, this blind man, well every now and then. No, brothers and sisters, it wasn't every now and then. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and I will mention two incidents or two things about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in relation to this blind man, to highlight the fact that the Prophet alayhi salam did not see the man's disability, the fact that he was blind, as a disability. See, there might be an issue with us actually saying this person has a disability. The Prophet did not view it as a disability. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, in his book Al-Isaba fi Ma'rifati Sahaba, this is a book he compiled, and he listed the names of all the people who were Sahaba of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He mentions in this book, when he talked about this companion, Ibn Ummi Maktoum, he said that the scholars of Al-Ansab, the scholars of genealogy, Wasir, and the scholars of history, they say that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam more than 13 times, on at least 13 occasions, when he traveled from Medina, he left Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum, the blind man, in charge of Medina. So he didn't just speak to him nicely when he saw him in the streets. This is how he honored the man. He left him in charge, brothers and sisters. Which one of us today would think that a blind person could be left in charge of anything? Subhanallah. When we talk about revolutionary ideas and concepts, you can't get better than this. On 13, at least 13 occasions, not just once or twice. Among these occasions, brothers and sisters, when the Prophet alayhi salam went for Hajj, in Hajjatul Wada', he left Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum in charge of Medina, blind man. And the Prophet did not see his blindness as something that would inhibit him from functioning as a member of society. So he would need some help and assistance. But who does not need help and assistance, brothers and sisters? Even you and I. We may consider ourselves without disabilities, and yet there are occasions when we seek help and assistance of others. So on 13 different occasions, or at least 13 occasions, the Prophet alayhi salam, of the thousands of the Sahaba who could see and hear, he appointed Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum, istakhlafahu ala al-Madina. He left him in charge of Medina. And the other incident that I want to share with you regarding this individual, Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu, again, that highlights the perspective of Islam, that disabilities in no way are barriers to the full participation of an individual in the society and with the society. Al-Imam al-Bukhari tells us in his Sahih that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said to the Sahaba, لَا يَمْنَعَنَّكُمْ أَذَانُ بِلَالٍ. Let not the adhan of Bilal stop you or prevent you min al-akli wa shurb, from eating and drinking. This is for suhoor in Ramadan. He says, don't let the adhan of Bilal stop you from eating and drinking. Kulu wa shurabu, eat and drink. Hatta tasma'u adhana ibn Ummi Maktoum, aw hatta yu'adhina ibn Ummi Maktoum. Eat and drink until Ibn Ummi Maktoum calls the adhan. Imagine that, brothers and sisters. Suhoor and the beginning of fasting is based on being able to tell when Fajr has started or not. And in those days, they did not have the charts we have today. So they had to visually look at the east and decide whether Fajr has begun or not. So you need someone to see this. And yet, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he had two mu'adhin, Bilal radiallahu anhu and Ibn Ummi Maktoum, according to the hadith. Which muadhin did he appoint to call the adhan that is really important because it tells people it's time to stop eating people, Fajr has begun. He did not appoint the man who could see, Bilal radiallahu anhu. Instead he appointed the blind man, subhanallah. And instead he ordered Bilal or appointed Bilal to call the earlier adhan, to wake up people. Or to inform them that Fajr is close, you need to eat and drink, do your suhoor. And as we can see from this, brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ did not even entertain the idea, well, you know what? I can still honor Ibn Ummi Maktoum, let him call the Aldi Adhan. But the Fajr Adhan, you know, I need somebody who could see. Someone who would not, who could see so that he will not delay the Adhan and cause people to eat past the beginning of Fajr time. No. He didn't think like that because he did not see the man's lack of vision or lack of sight as a barrier to him participating in this capacity. Yes, it meant, as one of the narrators of the hadith mentioned, that Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum was a blind man and he would call the adhan for Fajr when other people would tell him it is Fajr time. So he needed that help, if you like. But you see, brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ did not see that as a barrier. He did not see that as something that would inhibit this individual, this companion, from being a full member like everybody else. He did not regulate him, oh, call the earlier adhan, you know, you don't need to see Fajr for that. No. This is how, brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ demonstrated to the Muslims. He taught us by his own practice that we should not view our brothers and sisters who may have certain disabilities. And again, I'm saying, you know, it is our terminology that these individuals have disabilities. But the Prophet ﷺ taught us through practice that what we interpret as disabilities should not become barriers and inhibitors to prevent our brothers and sisters and to prevent us who we view ourselves as not having disabilities, to prevent us from thinking that they cannot fully participate in our activities. Brothers and sisters, we need to raise our own consciousness. We need to perhaps go home and think a little bit about how we feel on the inside about people who can't see or can't hear and so on. Perhaps we need to reconcile that first. Because if we on the inside view them as people who can't really fully participate, then yes, we will never allow them the chance to fully participate. Because we will always treat them as that. Oh, that's where the change needs to begin from. That's where it has to start. That we need to change the way we actually see our brothers and sisters. And then what we need to do after that, brothers and sisters, is to begin to develop relationships with our brothers and sisters we view as having disabilities. Don't be afraid of them. Talk with them. Sit with them. And if you're close, invite them to your home. Yes, you may have to make some special arrangements for someone in a wheelchair. But brothers and sisters, if you invited me and you knew I didn't eat meat, I do, by the way, I am sure you will go out of your way to make sure you prepare meals without any meat in it for me. You are doing something special for me there. So what's the difference between that and the brother or the sister who is in a wheelchair or who is deaf or has some other form of what we call disabilities? What's the difference? This is how the Prophet ﷺ understood this one interaction with this blind man and the revelation of the Quran, brothers and sisters. He didn't just, you know, engage with this Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum every now and then. But as you can see from his own actions, day to day, he treated the man as a full member, as if he was not blind at all, subhanAllah. And that's the perspective we need to achieve, because that is the Islamic perspective. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless all of us, that He will open our hearts and our minds so that we can understand this wonderful message He has revealed in the Quran. And may Allah the Exalted inspire us all to live by this message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us so that we can begin to see our brothers and sisters, regardless of geographic location, regardless of language, regardless of color, regardless of whether we view them as having a disability or not. May Allah help us and guide us to view each other as equals. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to reach out to the best of our ability to those who may need our assistance from time to time. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد. Let us also send peace and blessings upon the Messenger of Allah, for Allah has commanded us to do so in the Quran when He said, إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم بمنك ورحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والكفرة والملحدين وانصر عبادك الموحدين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين والمظلومين والمجاهدين في كل مكان. اللهم أفرغ عليهم صبرا وثبت أقدامهم وانصرهم على القوم الكافرين وانصرهم على القوم الفاسقين وانصرهم على القوم المجرمين. اللهم اجعل لهم من ضيقهم مخرجا. اللهم اجعل لهم من ضيقهم مخرجا. اللهم أيدهم بتأييدك وأمدهم بمددك وانصرهم بنصرك. وأنت على نصرهم لقدير وأنت على كل شيء قدير. Brothers and sisters, you heard the announcement of our brothers and sisters in Myanmar, Burma, and the dire situation that they are faced with. Yes, I know that there are many places in our world today where people are living and they are facing dire situations, but we must pay attention to every situation and not just look at some over others. So my humble appeal to myself and all of you is do whatever we can to help and support our brothers and sisters. If you cannot support financially, at the very least make dua for them. You know, when you pray, raise your hands and ask Allah to ease their suffering and to ease their hardships, and to bring them out of the difficulties and the trials that they're faced with, and to provide a place of safety and peace for them. Let us also pray for our brothers and sisters who are sick and who are suffering. Allahumma ashfi maradana wa marad al muslimin. Allahumma ashfi maradana wa marad al muslimin. Allahumma rabban nas adhib al ba's. O Allah, you are the creator and sustainer of mankind. We ask you to remove their illness and their sickness. Ishfi anta shafi. Cure them, O Allah, for you are the only healer and curer. Ishfi anta shafi. Ishfi anta shafi. La shifa'a illa shifa'uk. There is no cure except yours. Shifa'an la yughadiru saqma. A cure that leaves behind no trace of illness. Allahumma khaffif alamahum wa yassir lahum umurahum. And we ask you, O Lord, to ease their pain and their sufferings and to make easy for them the affairs of their lives. Allahumma alhimhumu sabra wa thabat wa rida bima qadait. And we ask you, O Lord, to also inspire them with patience and steadfastness, to accept and to submit to what you have decreed. Allahumma ajirhum fi musibatihim. O Allah, reward them for their patience and steadfastness in face of their difficulties. Wa akhlif lahum khayran minha ya arhamar rahimin. And replace it with something that is better for them, O most merciful of those who show mercy. Allahumma aghfir lil muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat. الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات وقوموا إلى صلاتكم.